Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, first chapter? Of course, I'd like to bring a Christmas message to you today. We're going to call it Mary Had a Little Lamb. Matthew chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 18. The scripture says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. In our childhood, we learned the song, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Went something like, Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Now there's more to that story, but we probably didn't realize at that time that the childhood song that we sang really happened. That there was a lady named Mary who had a lamb, had a boy that grew up to be the Lamb of God. Well, it's what's happening in these verses in Matthew's gospel. It seems that Joseph is engaged to a young Jewish maiden by the name of Mary. They were betrothed, which meant that they were legally married but had not yet been legally living together. Or living together, they were betrothed or espoused is another way that we could call their arrangement. During this time, word comes to Joseph that Mary is pregnant. Joseph knows that he isn't the father, but he's sure someone is. Someone is. So he's got this dilemma. What is he going to do? He thinks that Mary has been unfaithful to him, and he considers a divorce. And yet, because he loves Mary, he doesn't want to put any public shame upon her, so he thought about doing this privately. And also, the penalty for committing Mary's crime in the Old Testament was death by stoning. However, before he could put his plan into action, God sends an angel to tell Joseph that things aren't the way they appear to be. He tells this Jewish husband that Mary is carrying a child that was miraculously fathered by the Holy Spirit of God. He tells them that this child will be special, and this child will have a special mission. That this child, in fact, would be the Savior of mankind. Joseph's reaction is to take Mary into his home and wait with her until the day that the baby is born. What they didn't realize is that this baby who was growing in Mary's body was none other than the Lamb of God, who would one day die for the sins of all men. Verse 25 tells us that Mary eventually delivered the child, and when she did, the Lamb of God was born. In one of the greatest stories in all of the Scripture, we learn the truth that Mary indeed had a little lamb. It is that Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I want to talk to you about today. I would like to share with you three characteristics about Mary's little lamb. And may the Lord help us again to see today why the birth of Jesus Christ was so special. First of all, Mary's lamb was a special lamb. In verse 20 it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." His conception was special. Jesus Christ had no human father. His father was God himself. What makes the conception of the Lord Jesus so fantastic is the fact that he was born to a virgin. His mother was a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." This is an essential doctrine, folks, the virgin birth. Some people deny it. We believe it to be true. Without a virgin birth, we do not have a sinless Savior, and we have no hope of salvation. It is impossible, really, to be saved and deny the truth of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. His conception was special because he was born to a virgin, fathered by God himself. But his conduct was also special. From the day Jesus came into the world until the day he ascended back to heaven, he was a person of very special characteristics. Look at his miracles. He could feed multitudes. He could open the eyes of blind people. He could heal the sick. He could even raise the dead. He was special. His conduct was special. It was nothing for him to walk on water or to still a violent storm. Everything that he did marked him as one who was special. However, these activities were merely the proof that he was who he claimed to be. Also, his messages were special. Jesus opened his mouth and people marveled at the things that he had to say. Even at the age of 12 years old, he was among the religious leaders and doctors of his day, expounding the scriptures. And as a 12-year-old child, those learned and educated men were marveling at the things Jesus taught, the things that Jesus knew. And then when Jesus started his ministry, people were still astonished because his message was so authoritative. His message came with the anointing of God. He didn't speak like the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders. No, his ministry was far more superior to theirs, and people marveled and were astonished at his doctrine. His methods were also special, just the way that Jesus carried himself. He never stooped to the tactics of his enemies. He was always much better than they were. He always kept his Father's will as the center of his focus. Never concerned about his own way, but only doing the will of God. Nothing mattered to Jesus but pleasing his Heavenly Father. Do you know that there has never been and there never will be anyone like Jesus Christ? Never another like him. He was one of a kind. Truly, Mary's little lamb was a special lamb. His claim was also special. Jesus was not shy about telling people who he was. In fact, his claims were what caused the Jews to seek his death. Blasphemy, they said. What other reason do we need? What was the claim that Jesus made that was so offensive to these people? Well, the answer to that question is really twofold. First of all, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. In John chapter 10 and verse 36, "Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." Jesus claimed that he was the Son of God in heaven. All the people supposed that he was the son of Joseph. However, Jesus claimed a special relationship with the Father in heaven, claiming to be his own son. Just as the doctrine of the virgin birth is essential to salvation, so is the fact that you must believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Until a person comes to the place where they are willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God, they cannot be saved. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, but he also made another claim. He claimed to be God. Not just the Son of God, but he claimed to be God. In John chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And John chapter 10 and verse 30 clearly spells it out. "I and my Father are one." That claim was even more offensive than the claim to be the Son of God. By making this claim, Jesus was telling them that he was eternal, that he was their God, that they needed to bow before him and acknowledge him as their God. This they were not willing to do. They would rather crucify him than to admit that. Again, may I remind you that only those who accept the truth that Jesus is God can be saved. However, that is as simple as believing the Bible to be true. If you believe the Bible to be true, you can easily believe that Jesus was God. Mary's lamb was a special lamb. Number two, Mary's lamb was a sacrificial lamb. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus came into this world for one purpose. It was not really to walk on water. It was not just to heal sick people. It was not just to open blinded eyes. It was not even to calm storms. Jesus came for the sole purpose of dying. He was a special lamb, but he also became the sacrificial lamb. John the Baptist knew that from the very beginning. When he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which comes to take away the sins of the world." You see, Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of humanity. Luke tells us that his mission was to seek and to save those who were lost. If he was going to accomplish this, there was a price that had to be paid. And the price was the cross, where he would die for our sins. Don't you notice three things about this sacrificial lamb? First of all, this was a spotless lamb. You know, before they offered a sacrifice, they had to examine it thoroughly. It had to be declared spotless. An animal that was impure or deformed could not be offered as a sacrifice for sin. Could not be a part of the sin offering. For Jesus to be sacrificed meant that he had to be perfect. He had to be the perfect specimen. He had to be a perfect lamb. He had to be a human without spot or without blemish. No sin. Jesus fit the bill. Not only was he the Son of God, but he was the sinless Son of God. When Jesus died on the cross, realize today that they were shedding innocent blood. He was dying in the place of all guilty sinners who ever and would ever live. He was a pure lamb dying for a wretched world. He was spotless. He was also submissive. Jesus wasn't forced into his role of being a sacrifice. Jesus willingly became the sacrifice for humanity. He willingly submitted to all that he endured. Why did he do it? Because of his intense, immense love for you and I. Remember, Jesus was God in the flesh. This is the creator of the universe that we are talking about. The song is true. The scripture is true. He could have called 12 legions of angels if he had wanted to. He could have simply spoken a word and had his executioners and accusers vanished into nothingness. He could have expressed the thought and everything would have been no more. But he didn't. He endured the shame and the pain without uttering a word. He submitted to the Father's will and he paid the price for sin. He was a submissive lamb. Isaiah 53 talks about it. He was dumb. He opened not his mouth. He just went like a lamb to the slaughter. When he did speak, it was, Father, forgive these people, for they know not what they do. God, forgive these accusers, these tormentors. Jesus surrendered to the will of the Father. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the cross was still hours away, Jesus could be found in prayer calling for the Father's will to be done. In Luke 22, not my will, but thy will be done. Even then, he submitted to the will of God. He was a submissive lamb. And then he was a sacrificed lamb. All the rest meant nothing unless this part was fulfilled. It wasn't enough for Jesus to be sinless. It wasn't enough for him to be surrendered. He had to suffer and die before he could ever do away with sin. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 tells us, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Thank God today that Jesus paid the penalty for sin, the price for sin, and literally became sin for you and me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That night they took him outside the city of Jerusalem. They took him to a hill. They took him to Mount Calvary, the place of the skull. And there they nailed him to a cross. And there he died for your sins and mine. When his blood was pouring from his body and his life was ebbing away, it was as if a giant billboard advertising the awesome love of God had been put up for all sinners to see. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mary's lamb was a special lamb. Mary's lamb was a sacrificial lamb. And number three, Mary's lamb was a saving lamb. He shall save his people from their sins. Now, if the story had ended there, it'd still be a sad story. If we had left Jesus on the cross, there would still be no reason to celebrate Christmas and no need to come to church. There would be no salvation and no hope for lost souls. If he had died and that was the end of him, that would be the end of all of us as well. But thank God today the story doesn't end there. 3 days later, Jesus, after having died on the cross, came forth alive from the tomb. And he's still alive today. Since that is true, I want to show you what Jesus Christ can do for you today. First of all, he has the power to save sinners. If there is sin in our life, there is hope of forgiveness. There is hope of salvation. Those who are lost in sin can turn to Christ and he will save their souls. He'll do what no other power can do. He'll cleanse you from sin. His blood has the power to wash away your sins forever. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his death and resurrection as payment for your sin debt, he washes you in his blood and your sins are no longer an issue. They're gone. They're done away with. He can cleanse sin. He can convert souls. The human soul is a wicked thing. It's lost and undone and it cannot have fellowship with God. However, when a sinner trusts Jesus for salvation, there's a change that comes in their life. There's a work that is done in your soul. He makes you pleasing in the sight of God and allows you to enter into this special relationship, this sonship with God himself. And because you are saved, you become a child of God. He is your heavenly Father. You no longer are black, you're no longer corrupt, you're no longer doomed to hell, but in Jesus, you're not only saved, you're brought into a close relationship with the Father. He can cleanse sin, he can convert souls, he can change sinners. When he saves someone, He also changes that person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we are new creations. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We've probably heard this verse so many times, it's just commonplace in our hearing. However, the truth of that needs to be underscored, and we need to realize that if we are saved, we have been changed. We're not the same people we used to be. We think about different things. We stop doing the things that we know are displeasing to God. That's the power of the Savior, to change us. You cannot be like you were before you met Jesus. You cannot be that way any longer. Everything has changed. It can never be the same again. Jesus takes the worst of sinners and he changes them into the best of saints. That's what he did with Saul, who became Paul. He said, his own testimony, I am the worst of sinners. I am the chiefest of sinners. But God changed him into one of the greatest saints of all time. And God wants to do that in your life, in my life as well. There are things in all of us that he wants to change. He's our Savior today, and he washes our sins away, but he also wants to change us. He also wants to make us more like him. And he can work because we're already accepted by God. We're not working, we're not changing to gain his acceptance. But out of a heart and love and appreciation for what Christ has done for us, we want to be changed and please our Heavenly Father. And then he has the power to secure saints. Those who come to Mary's little lamb do not need to fear losing what they have been given. I'm not preaching eternal security here this morning, but I believe that Jesus also has the power to keep us saved. Not only the power to save us, but the power to keep us saved. We walk in the light as he is in the light. The blood of Christ is cleansing us as we fellowship one with another. If you have been putting off salvation because you are afraid that you cannot do it, then let me encourage you to quit looking at yourself and what you can do. Salvation belongs to the Lord. If he can save you, he can protect you. He can keep you. He is able to keep us from falling, the scripture says, so that someday he can present us before his throne with exceeding joy. The fact that he keeps us may be the greatest miracle of all. When you think about Christmas this year, try to keep things in perspective. I know Christmas has become far too commercialized, and there's the world of fantasy and everything that has been associated with Christmas nowadays. But those of us who have been exposed to the truth of the word need to remember that Christmas is a special day when God sent his Son in the world to be a sacrifice for our sins. I don't think I've ever preached the birth without the death. Jesus was born to die. That's the truth of the matter. That's the fact of the matter. Mary had a little lamb, a lamb who was destined to give his life as a sin offering for mankind. That's what Christmas is all about. Do you know Mary's little lamb this morning? Do you know him as a personal way? Do you know him as a saving way? Have you accepted his sacrifice, his death, for payment for your sin? If you don't know him in that way today, come to him. Let me introduce you to Mary's little lamb. If you do, but things aren't as they should be between you and the Lord, then I would challenge you to bring yourself and your needs to Jesus right now. He can fix it. He can fix broken lives. Yes, Mary had a little lamb. Do you have that lamb this morning? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Is there anybody here, Pastor? I've heard the message. I've heard it time and time again. But yet, up to this point, I've not yet accepted the sacrifice of the Lamb of God for my sins. I have not said, Jesus, I recognize your death as the payment for my sin, but I accept that today And would you let your blood, your innocent blood, wash away my sins? And would you apply your death to my bill, to my account? Anybody here, just raise your hand this morning. I'd like to pray for you. Pastor, I've not yet received the sacrifice of Christ as the payment for my sin. Then, Christian, is there something in your life today that's not right that you need to let Christ fix? He's here today. He's willing to do that. He's willing to fix whatever is wrong in your life. Would you give him that chance today? Would you let him do it? Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for this little lamb that Mary had. We thank you that his fleece was white as snow, that he was perfect in every way, that he was the sinless Savior, that he was your Son, that he was God himself. Thank you, Lord, that you had the power to lay down your life, but also to raise it up again. We thank you for offering us then the gift of yourself, the indescribable gift. And we thank you for offering us the gift of eternal life. And Lord, if there is any here today, I don't know that there is, but if there is any who has not yet received this gift of eternal life, that they would do so very soon, that they would do so during this Christmas season, that Christ would be born in their hearts. And Lord, today, if there is anyone here, there are issues in their life that are not right. There are problems in their relationship with you. Lord, that they would come to the mediator, Jesus Christ, and they would work things out. Lord, that we would be right with you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. Be with you next year and the year after that and the year after that and for all eternity. He'll be there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not only does he live, not only was he born, but he lives and continues to live and will continue to live forever. That's the kind of God to serve. Amen. bring a candle tonight for the candlelight service, and bring some, some Reynolds wrap or something so you don't drip candle wax on yourself. We'll have some here as well. And if you can't join us tonight, if we don't see you before next Sunday, have a very Merry Christmas. God bless you.